As promised, we are talking college basketball. Once again, we had Frank Martin on in hour number one. Right now, we are joined by the head basketball coach at Marquette. He is in his fifth season with the Golden Eagles. Marquette is 13-3. They're 2-1 in Big East play. They're currently number 19 in the coaches' poll. They're hosting Seton Hall tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern. Steve Wojciechowski is my guest. Steve, it is so nice to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on.
Always good to have you on, Steve. So you're coming off a win over Creighton. Let me start right there. That was Wednesday night. Marcus Howard had a Big East record 53. Steve, you've been around the game a long time as a player, an assistant, now as a head coach. How many performances have you seen like that one?
Never seen anything like it. I have never seen anything like it. And you're talking about a young man in Marcus who a year ago had 52 and has had 40 points and a half earlier this season and 45 in a game. So when you're talking about magical performances, he's had those. But the way the game was going at Creighton and the things that he did given the game situations was just absolutely incredible. And I always get asked, are you surprised by – you know, what he's doing, and I guess I'm past the point of being surprised. He's such a good player that he's capable of making magic happen on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, that's unbelievable praise, but I can understand why you'd say that. And let's be straight about this. It was not just 53. It was 53, and then he had 14 in overtime, and he did so on the road. But then, of course, that game does not go to overtime without a little magic from Sam Hauser. You're down 5 with 8 seconds left, and then you cut it to 3, and then Creighton's inbound pass didn't touch anybody. So you've got a chance to inbound, down 3, 0.8 seconds left. Hauser gets the pass. He immediately shoots a 3. It goes down. I mean, what was that moment and that whole sequence like for you?
Well, it was surreal. You know, the amount of things that had to go right for us and wrong for Xavier in such a short time span. I've never been a part of a game like that, and I'm sure I'll never be a part of it again. I've never seen an ending to a game like the one we had in Creighton. And, you know, we were very fortunate to have won the game. But I'm also proud that our guys never stopped believing and competing, and it's a great lesson to be able to share with our team that you always keep playing through the final buzzer, because you're never, you know, it's never over till it's over. And I know that's an old cliche, but if there's any perfect example of that, I think it was our game versus Creighton.
See, let me go back to Howard for a minute, because I mean, he's such an amazing player, but while he's an amazing player, it's kind of easy to lose track or side of the fact that he's a person who was part of a group of student-athletes who went to Costa Rica back in May to build a basketball court. Now, he could have been working on his game. He could have been focused on himself, but he said that trip put his mind in the right place for the season. Again, I'm really impressed that somebody like that would say something like that. What's it say about him as a person?
Well, as good as he is as a basketball player, and I'm biased, certainly. I think he's as good, if not the best guard in the country. It's eclipsed by his character. I mean, he went on the mission in the summer to build courts in really tough areas, and he gave up really his only 10-day break of the summer between the end of our school year and the start of summer school to do it. So he's given up what essentially amounts to a vacation to, you know, build courts for underprivileged kids. He's also a kid who started a Fellowship of Christian Athletes here at our school. He's just tremendous in the community, an amazing role model, not only for kids that look up to him, but adults too. You know, he really is a man for others. And, you know, it's that type of person that it's so easy to root for, because he embodies everything that you would want a student athlete to be about, not only on the floor, but off the floor. And it's been an honor to coach him. And Marquette and our community is very lucky to have him on our team.
Marquette head basketball coach Steve Wojciechowski is my guest. Speaking of Marquette, you know, it's only January. I know you're not going to plan any parades because of what you've done so far this season. That said, when you look at how important basketball is to the culture of Marquette University and how important Marquette basketball is to the history of college basketball, how good does it feel then to be in the top 20 right now?
Oh, it's great. I mean, obviously, like you said, Jim, this is a place that's got great history and tradition. Tremendous coaches, tremendous players have come through here. Now, as the caretaker of the program, to have our program in a position, if we continue to improve and do the things that we've done to this point, is to have an outstanding season and put ourselves in a position to do some really neat things. We're all very excited about it. Our campus community is excited. The Milwaukee community is excited. Got across my desk today. We're ninth in the country in attendance. We're averaging over 16,000 fans a night, which is pretty incredible when you consider our school is only 8,000 undergrads. So there's tremendous excitement and momentum with our program, and I think it all starts with our players. We got a group that's really easy to root for. They're good at basketball, but you know, I think everybody around here at least recognizes that we got a good group of kids that compete hard, compete for one another, and are trying to honor the jersey to the best of their ability.
Steve, I'm curious. You know, I mentioned you had a great career as a player, and one of the hallmarks of your career when you played was you always seemed so cool and calm under pressure. So if you would, take me back to when you first went to Poland to play pro basketball. How much did you know about what you were getting into, and how calm and cool were you on that flight?
I was scared out of my mind. Mm. Calm and cool would probably be the last two words to describe me. You know, you got to remember, Jim, that was before the world was as small as it is now. I mean, there were no cell phones. I mean, I had to call collect or go to a payphone to reach my family back in the States. The internet was not a thing. Email was not a thing. And so the world was really small. And so when I got off the plane, there was nobody to meet me, first of all.
Wow.
When I got off the plane, and I'm in Poland, and I know my name's Wojciechowski, but only speak a little bit of Polish, and I'm thinking, what in the world did I get myself into? And I just left the friendly confines of Cameron Indoor Stadium and the Duke basketball program, which obviously treats its players at an elite level, and I'm walking into an unknown. So I was scared, but in hindsight, it was a great experience to go through, and I'm glad I did it. And then I was really glad when I got back to the States.
Wow. Steve, I got to ask you, that's a great story. I always love talking to guys about their days and what that was like, because it's so different than playing in the NBA. For example, in some situations, fans were smoking during the game, and getting paid by the team is not always easy. What was payroll like for you back in the day? How did you get paid?
You know what? I didn't, for the most part, which was a problem.
Hmm.
The team that I was on was sponsored by a Russian trucking company. And if you can remember that, at that time in the late 90s, the Russian economy just bottomed out. So it was always when I asked about my pay, you know, like, oh, yeah, we're going to get you next week. We're going to get you next week. And so after about 3 months, I realized we're going to get you next week didn't exactly mean what it meant in the States. So I did get some cash here and there, but I didn't walk away from there with a rainy day fund. Let's just put it that way.
No, I get it. Before I let you go, you played for Coach K. You worked with Coach K. As you look back right now, is there anything about Coach K that you appreciate even more now that you're a head coach that maybe you didn't know about him then?
Well, I think I've always had a great level of appreciation, but his ability to build relationships and maintain relationships over the years. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's coached for 40 years, and you know, if you talk to each player individually, you know, I think all of them would say they have a special relationship, you know, with him. And to consider over four decades that each guy would feel that way is pretty incredible. I mean, obviously, from a basketball standpoint, it doesn't get any better. But from just a personal standpoint, now he cares about his players. That's the thing that stands out to me. And, you know, obviously, Jim, there's nothing I can do to repay Coach. So for me, you know, my job now, at least the way I look at it, is try to pay it forward to the people I interact with and the kids that I coach.
100%. Marquette, number 19 in the coaches poll. They're having a really nice year, 13-3 overall, 2-1 in Big East play. Marquette is at home where things are banging. They're at home against Seton Hall tomorrow. Steve, really nice to get caught up. I appreciate you coming on this show always. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend. Good luck.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Always good to talk to you, Steve. Appreciate you. That's a great story about getting to Poland, showing up there, and there's nobody to pick them up. And it's not like it is back in the day, or it's not like it is today. I mean, no cell phones, really little internet. He's in Poland. left the comfortable confines of Cameron Indoor where they take care of players. He's like, now what? Nobody's coming to get me? Oh, great. Somebody pick me up. How do I get paid?